I'm sure she has some strength and hope to impart. Paola will be our speaker tonight.
Hello, my name is Paola, I'm an alcoholic. I was, before I even started to speak, I was looking around the room and thinking, wow, especially seeing so many women, and I got sober, nothing against the man, but when I got sober, I got into a room where there's not any woman, and it was really hard for me. I moved to the United States with my family because of my husband's business, and I didn't know anything about alcoholism. And so that's how I found out about AA, by going into an AA meeting, and it was all men, and it was really hard. So thank you so much, Tim, for inviting me to speak. It's always an honor to participate in AA meeting. This is my least favorite thing to do, but it's always an honor to talk about how I got here and why I'm here and why I continue to be excited about my sobriety. And my sobriety day is June 21, 2011, and I live in Suwanee, so I go to a U4 meeting. It's a new group. It's 5:30 at Main, and it meets Mondays and Wednesdays at 5:30 at Main. Yes, that's the address in U4, and it's a great meeting. And that's what I do. And so I was raised in Lima, in Peru, in South America. I have two brothers. My dad was in the Navy, so come from a very strict family, and also a very a family with lots of social activities. So there was a lot of drinking. My mom didn't drink, my dad did, and I always see drinking as something fun and good, because the parties were happening always when my parents were drinking. And like I said, I have two brothers, I am in the middle, and it was always like waiting for to be Friday and for people coming to the house and the social activities to start, because those were the moments where my dad was happy, and that I could have a relationship with him, because he was drinking and he was a happy drunk, and when he was not drinking is when he was mean and serious and all of that and strict. So I always relate alcohol with happy and a good mood and all of that. And so I didn't have a good relationship with my dad. You know, I didn't grow up like a little girl daddy or any of that stuff. I didn't know that. Me and my brothers, I remember asking, waiting for my dad to be intoxicated and drinking or having a party to ask for permission, because we never get permission to go and to be with friends and all of that. So me, work as a woman, my dad was really strict. So that's how we were raised as kids. And so fast forwarding, I got into many different relationships, and my dad was there, like I said, very strict, and I lived with my dad. I went to college, and that's when my drinking escalated, and I went from one relationship to the other relationship, and then I met this guy who I married. We started dating, and we got engaged, and that's the guy that I got married with, and we moved into the United States because of his job. And so I say yes. And about that time, when I wanted to move, it was because I was running away, really. I was running away from all the things that I was doing when I was drinking. I was running away from all the things that I was doing when I was, like the book said, that when I was that tornado roaring through the lives of all these people. And it was really bad. I mean, that really bad. And like I said, I have two brothers who have a lot of friends and people that knew me from the Navy, from my dad. And I was getting a lot of trouble with people. And mostly it was like reputation, bad things, you know, things about women, a lot of shame, things that I was doing. And I didn't understand. A lot of my friends, my good friends, would confront me and say, why are you doing that? What are you doing? And I didn't know. I didn't understand. My mom didn't drink, so even worse, because for me, well, like, I'm a woman. I wasn't around a woman that drinks. So that's part of at least for me, was the cultural part. It's like, you know, you shouldn't be drinking like that. But I did, and I just didn't know how to stop. So when my boyfriend by that time told me to get married and to move, you know, we had our first child, and we moved to the United States, and that's when my disease escalated. I really lied to him about my drinking. We party and we drink a lot together, but he didn't know how much I drank. And I was able to hide that a lot. And so I had my first baby, and we're here, and I'm home alone, and I don't need to work, so I'm not working, and he's working. And that's when I'm like, okay, you know, that's my party of one and a baby. And those were the things that I was doing, and putting my kids into very dangerous places, because I was driving with my kids, I was drinking in my house, and I was always making the excuse like I am controlling the drink, because I consider myself a functional drinking, and I'm drinking, but I have a baby and I'm a mom, and I cannot really take care of my baby, and I don't want to tell my husband, because I'm doing controlled drinking. When he comes home, I'm still okay, and I'm not going to drink a lot. All these little games that at least some woman that I heard talk about, that I can relate about in their stories. And it was really bad. It was really bad, and I asked for help, and I said, well, I don't know. I started reading and trying to find out what's going on with me, and I found out about alcoholism, and I started researching, and one of my trips that I went back to my country, I asked for help, and I said, you know, I'm living in the United States. I don't know anybody, my husband, his friend from work, this company, and I need help, and that's how I was taught. And I went to a program in Peru, in Lima, because I didn't know anything. I was living in Dayton, Ohio, and I didn't know, where do I go now? And so I went there, and I see the program with my baby there, and I, as a mom, as a woman, and it's funny today to think that I really was struggling with leaving my son, because of, well, I was leaving my son with family, but I was thinking that I'm a mom, I shouldn't be leaving my son. And I never thought, I'm leaving my son anyways because I'm drinking, and I'm not present for my kids. I'm doing this for my child, but I couldn't see that. I was so hurt and devastated that I had to do this program, and I did. But I went back to the United States. I moved back with my husband, with my baby, and I stayed sober for almost 4 years. I go to AA. I was introduced to AA meetings in English. Because that's when I started. My story was saying that I went to I tried to find a speaking Spanish speaking meeting, and I couldn't find a Spanish speaking meeting. I speak Spanish, but I started going to English speaking meetings, and it was amazing. I was helped a lot, even though I thought I spoke little English and I couldn't connect. It was amazing, but I really didn't connect. This program tells you that half measures avail you nothing. And when I got sober that time, now I can see that I was doing half measures. I wasn't 100% honest. I wanted to do just a little bit to get comfortable, and I didn't want to get old. So I got sober and I felt comfortable right away. And I got pregnant with my second child, and I'm 3 years sober. I don't need to do as much as you guys do. You do all these meetings. Yeah, I did some meetings. I did some of the steps too. But I'm sober, and I don't need to. And I really believe that. I believe that I didn't need to do as much as you all do. And I remember being really annoyed about these meetings, the women's meetings, and they'll go out and do things and the parties. And I'm like, well, you all want to be friends, but I have my friends and my love and my things, and I didn't understand, and I really thought that was okay, because my life was okay. I had a job, I had, like I said, my second child, and I started to get sick again, and I was not seeing it. And so I decided to drink again. I told my husband he was going to have like a party in one of the trips that we're going to have, and I'm like, I'm not going to do this anymore because I don't think it works. I don't need AA. And I decided to drink. And when I decided to drink, I have to say that I forgot how bad it was when I asked for help, when I was dying with a baby, because I said I needed help. But this disease will tell me that I don't have a receipt when I disconnect and I don't do the work. And that's what I was doing. I wasn't doing the work. I was not connecting with people. And I thought I wanted it, but obviously there was something missing. So that rehab that I did took me 2 years. And now with two kids, small children, and I can't do anything. I'm lying even to my sponsor, because now I tell my sponsor that I'm sober, but I'm not sober. I've been drinking, and nobody knows. So I'm alone. I'm sick. And the only one that knows is my husband. So I'm telling him that my sponsor already knows, and I'm not lying again. And I messed again with 2 days. So and I couldn't do it again. I just couldn't do it again. I begged, asked, went to meeting, asked for help, and it wasn't clicking again for me. So I really thought I was not going to get sober again. So really, really, AA, when they say this is not a revolving door, it's not. And one day, I remember one of those times that I was just trying, okay, I need to go, I need to keep trying. Now I'm a mom, I have two kids, and I remember I was going to go to an outpatient treatment here, but my husband, his company moved to Atlanta, so we moved with him, and I was just desperate, you know, that gift of desperation by that time, but I just couldn't do it. But they kept coming back, and I was doing, and I couldn't stay, but I kept coming back, and I was listening to everybody in the room, and I would keep coming back. And when I moved to Atlanta, before going to my first meeting, I was going to an outpatient treatment, because of course I'm thinking, I have 2 babies, I need to take care of my babies. And again, without thinking, you can't take care of your kids when you're relapsing like that. And I'm not even being honest with anybody. So I was going to go to that. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I need to do something. I'm dying and I need to go to this thing. So I went to this place alone trying to find information. I look through the window and I see this AA meeting in a circle. And I don't know what this brother was going to cry. It's all men again. I'm nothing against men. But I mean, I was just trying to connect over with a woman. I'm like, oh my God, you know, it's like, hey, it's always for men. And that was a struggle for me. Like, okay, where's the woman in Alcoholics Anonymous? I wanted to, you know, I'm a woman. So, let's see if I can give my water. Thank you. So, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you. Thank you, Betty. I'm the best friend in the world. So I'm like, I'm just going to leave. And one more time I left because I said, this is not going to work for me. I'm going to see it right there because I have such close, I was close-minded, I was afraid. I'm like, how is this going to work for me? And also, a lot of people were talking about God. I remember not that meeting before that, but I'm like, well, I was raised Catholic when I came here. I prayed all the time. You know, I'm dying and I'm praying and this is not going to help me. So that, and then seeing, you know, like only the men, I'm like, really? And I just left. I left, and I remember that walking, leaving, and talking to one person on the phone, a family member. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to try my best, but I can't do it. And I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to stay here. And I walked away, and I went to the Serenity House. I went to a meeting, and I'm just walking there like I'm some old time, and I sat in the middle of the room, and I just listened. And I went, and I listened. And I kept coming back, and I sat there and didn't say anything to anybody. And I remember also, and I say that also because that's so true, that I read, you know, not meaning there's a big sign there that says, and they never have to be alone again. And for me, I really wanted to be alone. And I was so powerful to think that I really wanted to be alone. I really didn't anybody to come to me, to talk to me, and I didn't want to be honest. I just wanted you guys to teach me how not to drink, or to teach me how to go home and not to feel that guilt and shame that I felt, not to be able to give to my kids, to my family. So, and that's how I started my journey in AA. So I go to the meetings and I'm miserable, but I didn't care anymore because I'm like, it felt from the beginning like, okay, maybe this is going to be the place. And I just kept coming back, and I remember, I remember that, like, the first days, the first 3 days, I remember thinking, oh my God, I'm sober, you know, it's been 3 days, it's been 4 days, it's been something, and just feeling that way, I've never experienced because I couldn't. And this time, because before, when I talk about my relapse, I did 2 months sober, like 3 months, or maybe 2 weeks, and I was doing it like that because I just couldn't do it. And this time, when I was, you know, I'm 3 days sober, I was like, oh my God, it's really working, it's really working. And just that freedom, just like that difference, just looking at myself in the mirror and experiencing something different, something new, and it was amazing. And that really motivated me to keep coming back. And I was always thinking, you know, I want to have those friends. So I started looking for really, instead of the differences, the similarities, that I was always too focused on the difference. I didn't get a DUI. I didn't go to jail. I didn't lose my husband. I was about to lose everything. And I don't know why, because I drove my kids under the influence so many times. And I just didn't get caught, but I did it many times. And they were little, and I don't know how many times my kids woke up in the middle of the night, or maybe they were looking for me and I wasn't there, or I was passed out. I don't know those things. But I'm grateful I'm here for them. I'm grateful I can be here today. And so I started going to meetings, and I started seeing that light, and I'm like, when am I going to see, you know, have more friends and more people? And I started to connect with women, and I really wanted to connect with women, and I was such a powerful thing for me. And something, one of the amazing things that happened to me in AA, just because of being of service, because of saying yes to things, because I am a person, my personality is like always an excuse for me, because I am too shy, because I speak Spanish, because I don't like to speak here, because I really want to, I never wanted to put myself out there. Maybe that's why I didn't have measures, because I was too afraid. It was just too much, and always the excuses, and I want to have more excuses, and it's easy for me to go into the excuses, but I learned to say yes by people that came to me, and God putting people in my life that will really hold my hands and say, we're going to do it together, and I would say yes, because I trusted them. And I remember one of the things that happened to me was, I don't know any Spanish, of course, I'm like 3 or 4 years older, and I'm doing AA, you know, right after my relapse, and I meet the person who is involved with the Hispanic community, but he goes to English speaking meetings just like me, but she's involved in creating, I think, a district or something like that. So I meet this person, and she invites me to go to an event, and I'm like, oh, you know, we're Hispanics, alcoholics, and woman, okay, let's go. So we went, and it was awesome. I'm there with her, and we meet this person who was the editor for the Greyman, that is the international magazine of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm there, and I'm new, and I'm with this person. She asked me to write my story for the Greyman in English. So I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm saying that I don't do these things. I like to be here and do things, but I'm an alcoholic, and I have a story. And I was asked to do something for AA, and I was told to say yes always. And I'm with this person I respect. I don't have like 20 years of sobriety, and she said, she's going to do it. Because I didn't even say yes, she's going to do it. So I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, okay. So I did it. I waited a little bit, and I did wrote something, and it was published. So that story connected me with this person who started reaching out to me to do some service work. When I think that I'm inadequate, that I think that I'm not good, when I think that I'm not good, and I want to say no, but I was told that I had to say yes, so I just saying, okay, but I don't think you want me, because, you know, I don't go to this, and I don't. She's like, yes, you know, you want. I'm like, okay. And then, like, again, the thing that leads to the thing, because I was told not to say no, and then I'm involved, and I'm doing service work for AA, directly working with them, and then as a trusted servant, then as a freelancer, and then they offered me a position as an editor for the Greyman because of all the things that we were doing with him, and it was amazing, and I couldn't believe it, and I said yes, being afraid, because the job comes with a responsibility to do things, to do work, to go to meetings, to talk about the things, to carry the message, and I never thought I was gonna be able to do these things that I had, like, you know, they say, what with purpose. I didn't want to work with purpose. I just didn't want to die, or I wanted to be a mom for my kids. That's what I wanted, really, because it was so hard. And that's what I want to continue to have. I'm not a person that, when I think my, so I look at my friends, and I see the gratitude that I have sometimes, like, it's so, like, you can touch it, and it's so beautiful, and I feel God's love to that, because I have it, like, here with me, so close, and it's just my choice to reach for that, and I do a lot, because it's not easy for me to be like that, to wake up with that, like, gratitude, but I say, yes, I do the work, I love people, I sponsor women, I have an amazing sponsor, I'm going through some emotional things, and I didn't mean to get so emotional, but I'm going through some emotional things today, which is okay, it doesn't bother me either, because, you know, I live in an honest way today, so, you know, this is what I got today, this is what I will share from the heart, and that's something that I'm learning here too, that always to share from the heart, there's no other way from me. I don't know any other way to share, you know, I'm not used to cry on the podium, but when I do lately, like I'm saying, I'm going through some things, and I'm like, well, you know, it's what it is, so it doesn't bother me anymore. I have an amazing relationship with my family, with everybody. My kids are grown now. Well, my two boys, they're in college, they're doing amazing, they're healthy kids. They love me, they admire me, they love what I do. I have a little girl, a surprise baby, my little Camila. I was like, oh my God, what is this? And I want to walk through that. There's all my friends in AA. They brought meetings to me. I lost my job that I thought it was going to be the best job ever. And look then, I got, you know, I haven't been doing these things for AA today. It's amazing. I get to live this life with my family, with my husband, with my friends, I remember saying yes. I remember being like, I'm saying, oh, shy, I don't want to know people, I just want to hide in there, I don't want to sit at the back of the room. And I remember, but also I don't want to be that person. Also, I want to be sober, and I'm seeing that to be sober, no, we want to participate. I want to permit to participate in my recovery. So I'm thinking, oh my God, yes, I want to hide there, but then I'm like, it's a struggle because I don't want to drink. And I know that if I drink, if I feel ready, if I hide, I'm going to drink because I already did. So I'm like, I need to participate. And I will do just a little things, and I know that God, because that's not me. So I'll go to a room and I will pick a reading, like the small one, the promises. And some annoying friends sometimes will tell me, power, like, a new reason. I'm like, oh my God, okay. But then I got, that was also my higher power, because then I got a little comfortable. Okay, listen, I'm going to read the promises. You know, I have an accent. I didn't want to say that. And I'm like, oh my God, they're going to ask me, where am I from? I don't want to talk. Those little stupid things, really, was like that for me. But I will do it. I'm going to read just a little bit. That. And then it got me into getting more involved and raising my hand, but those are the things that I had to be forced to do, to take the next step. And then I remember being on Facebook and trying really to meet them, like seeing people, okay, they have friends, groups of people, I don't have a lot of friends, nobody wants to talk to me, maybe because I speak Spanish or something like a baby. And then somebody comments something on Facebook, and I connected with Sonia through a person in AA, and she's like she's amazing, always so loving, so like that. And I'm like, but we have to do our part. We have to always do our part, right? I was told here that I'm responsible for the effort, and my higher power will take care of the outcome. So I reach out too. I reach out, and then at the meeting, I go there, and she's right there, and I see her. I'm like, I give my last chance. I want another friend. And I go, and I see her, and I go, and I say, hi, my name is Paola. And she looked with all the love in the world, and she had me, and we've been friends since then, because we both love each other, and we go to meetings, and we, you know, we have so many friends that do things like that, but it's because, you know, I had to make the effort, and I didn't want to. This stubborn alcoholic didn't want, and I still don't want to sometimes. But I know where the solution is, and I want it. And I want it because my life is so amazing today, and I want this life. So work is amazing. I have three amazing kids. My little one was a surprise kid who is just the joy of my life because she's brought so many things for the family, for my kids, and just how everything went with her really from the beginning. The support that I got in AA when my friends came, you know, the issue that I had with my C-section and the meetings being brought to me, and just being sober and living my life in AA this way is incredible. I remember also I was able to be there for my mom, my mom's husband, who we have a disagreement, a family disagreement, and because of this program where we're finally doing the work, doing the steps, working on forgiveness, where we're finally able to talk, and he was sick, and he died in a year. And if it's not a miracle of me being with him, holding his hand, after that family, whatever that it happened, how important it is. And I am so grateful for this program, so grateful for all the things that we get to do as a community, that how we get to carry the message to alcoholics, and that's what I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Paula. I really needed a reminder about similarities instead of differences, so thank you.
First I slip, and then I crept to a hope-filled dream. You rescued me, and finally, waking there I speak. I look into love's window for a soul that's meant for me. Takes me where the promise is, all is. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slow, we get just what we need. On a broad highway, stride for stride, we walk eternally. Look into love's window for a heart that beats for me. Takes me where the promise are real. And I always long for something.